Major utilities nationwide have fought hard against policies that make it easier for ordinary Americans to reduce their own energy costs and boost grid capacity by installing solar. Utilities accuse solar of unfairly adding costs for other ratepayers, but a series of studies suggests solar provides benefits for everyone. More than three decades after he wrapped up his stint in the U.S. House of Representatives, Barry Goldwater Jr. again has a front-row seat for an energy policy debate unfolding in real time across the country. The former congressman is leading a push to knock down the utilities that want to limit solar. Goldwater is chairman of the advocacy group Tell Utilities Solar Won't Be Killed, or TUSK, that promotes widespread rooftop solar. He spoke with John Farrell about surprisingly stiff opposition from many of today's utilities and what some of them are doing right. This is Local Energy Rolls, a podcast sharing powerful stories about local renewable energy.
In your work, both in Arizona and in many other places, a lot of the utilities are claiming that customers who have solar are costing other ratepayers money. Are they right?
Well, that's their claim, and I would say no. They're not. If anything, because they offer competition, in the end run, they're going to reduce prices overall, and because we know that's what competition does. But no, the answer is no. They're not costing the ratepayers money. It would be that, you know, the utilities claim that because of net metering, other ratepayers are paying for the maintenance of the grid. That would be similar to an argument that if I buy a low head shower head and a water efficient toilet and I'm using less water, other users are subsidizing my use of less water. And you can make that argument in so many different other areas where if you install a rooftop solar, you obviously are going to be using less energy from the grid or from the utility. But so is the fact that if I insulate my home and buy energy-efficient appliances, I'm going to be using less energy. So whether it's rooftop solar or environmental application, somebody is going to be paying less money, and some are going to be paying more money. But we all have the choice, and that's what's important in this discussion, is giving people choices. So to use that as an argument that somehow or another, because I buy less energy, everybody else is subsidizing my portion of the upkeep of the grid. It just doesn't hold water.
You know, given that there's, you know, as you say, so many other examples of why this notion that solar is a problem for utilities doesn't add up, why do you think it is that utilities really are concerned about customers with solar?
Well, you know, when the utility monopoly system was first put into place many, many years ago, when the only source of energy was basically coal, it made a lot of sense because you didn't want a lot of different competing power plants, and it just the efficiency of size worked in those days. But today it's a different animal. We use oil, but now more importantly, we're using gas, and now we're starting to see the emergence of renewable energy. So there are options out there that the consumer has to choose from, not to mention environmental conservation. So there is choice, and monopolies don't like choice. Their fight to not allow rooftop solar is their first line of defense.
So, you know, I'm curious, given that, you know, I think there's some pretty good evidence that in addition to the examples you gave of energy efficiency being comparable to the way that solar would impact a utility, and the fact that, you know, the issue here is really around choice, do you think there's any evidence that monopoly utilities could coexist with a lot of customer-owned solar and customers making these choices? Or is really that whole model of having monopoly utilities broken?
I think the traditional utility business plan is obsolete. It's basically a dinosaur. It made sense back in the days when all you had was coal. Because we are now using oil and we're using gas, and now we have nuclear power, we have renewable energies, there are options. Not to mention what technology down the road is going to bring us in the form of potential hydrogen fuel cells. The technologies here, if they make it so it's economic, all you'll need to do is go down to Home Depot, buy a box, and buy a fuel cell, and you don't need the utility. BMW and other automobile industries are offering hydrogen-powered automobiles. You have the whole new area of carbon technology, which is going to be evolving sometime soon. So you have alternatives on the drawing board. I forgot to mention hydroelectric power is another source. So today we have such a vast array or inventory of potential sources of energy that the old monopoly business plan of a utility is truly obsolete. And they've got to learn to coexist with new technologies and find a place for them to operate and function. And I think they can.
You know, there are a few examples around the country, maybe in California and New York, where they're trying to kind of explore what this new business model might look like. There's also the, I think, really interesting example of Green Mountain Power in Vermont, which is reorganized as a benefit corporation. There's still a monopoly utility, but kind of around this model of a triple bottom line to both, you know, customers and the environment and society. Do you see any one of those models, you know, whether it's that in Vermont or maybe in New York, where they're talking about more of a competitive model where utilities are going to be a platform for services? Are any one of those kind of models the ones that you see, you know, getting to this answer of how a monopoly might change its business model?
I think what's important there is that utilities in some areas are seeing the handwriting on the wall and are making an effort to work in the new culture that we live in. And I think that's to be applauded and I think encouraged. And I think if we do that in different parts of the country, we can learn from each other, sort of a laboratory process where we learn from the Green Mountain people, we learn from California, we learn from what they're doing in Florida with communities. So I would only encourage that. And I would encourage, for instance, Arizona Public Service here in Arizona to step back. We were once the shining state in solar energy. We were looked upon as a model and a leader in the application of rooftop solar as well as other alternatives. But because the utilities are feeling threatened, they're trying to stop all of that renewable progress. And I would say to them, shame on you. Why don't you try to work with these new energy sources? Try to fit them into your model. Upgrade your model to where, you know, you can accommodate these new sources of energy into your platform. But they're not making an effort at all. All they're doing is saying, no, stop. We don't want you. And as a result, we're seeing rooftop solar decline here in Arizona.
I would love to follow up on that, you know, issue about Arizona. You know, I know Arizona has been in the news a lot for the battle between the utilities and customers over solar. You know, do you see that as kind of the where the biggest fight is right now? I know Nevada also had, you know, kind of a big setback for net metering where they changed the policy not only for future customers but retroactively. Is it in the Southwest that the big fights are right now? Are there other places in the country that you're paying attention to where folks should be paying attention to this fight happening?
John, it appears to me this fight with the utilities are happening all over the country. Louisiana, for instance, is they've run up against their cap, as has the same thing in Maine. And we're seeing renewable energies being challenged all across the country. You mentioned Nevada. The whole rooftop solar energy industry has basically left Nevada because of their changing in their policies. We have three main utilities in Arizona: Tucson Power, and then Arizona Public Service, and the third is Salt River Project. Well, SRP, Salt River Project, recently put a $50 fee on top of anyone that installs rooftop solar. As a result, there has not been one new rooftop solar system sold or applied in that SRP territory. So that's what you're up against. It just seems to me that's, you know, the fight is going to continue on until the people stand up and said, you know, we want choice. We want opportunity to make a decision on whether we apply environmental things, buy a new appliance, or insulate our roof, or put a shade over our window, or buy rooftop solar, or, you know, doing all these other new technologies that are coming to bear. Choice is important. In Arizona, we've been on the forefront of offering people with students choice of where to send their students and getting away from the monopolistic education association that dominated Arizona's education. As a consequence, education opportunity in Arizona is growing and the quality of education is going, because when you have people, you give people a choice, competition always creates excellence and drives down the price.
So I'm curious, you were just in Germany, and this might be putting you on the spot. I've spent a fair amount of time studying their renewable energy policy, but one thing I think is interesting about it is that they created what's called a feed-in tariff to incentivize small-scale renewable development. So for a while, they were paying far more than the retail energy price, as is done with a net metering policy for solar. But now they're actually paying far less for small-scale solar. You know, this actually overlaps with what some folks in the U.S. are arguing or discussing, which is this notion about a price called the value of solar, that if we could add up all of the different components of, you know, the value of a rooftop solar array, we could find a price that was more transparent or more appropriate than using net metering. You know, have you looked into any of these policy alternatives, or do you really feel like because rooftop solar acts so similarly to these conservation measures that net metering really is the best policy that we should be applying for rooftop solar?
No, I think you make a good point. Too oftentimes, and currently, Arizona Public Service, before the Arizona Corporation Commission, is basically making an argument that other ratepayers are subsidizing those folks that apply rooftop solar. But in their argument, and we encourage the Arizona Corporation Commission to look at the total value of that rooftop solar that it makes to the overall picture. For one, it's clean energy, but that's not taken into consideration, and it should be. I was, speaking of Germany, I just returned and had an opportunity to get in the car and drive from Munich to Berlin, about 5 hours. I was so impressed with the extensive array of windmills and solar application, even in remote villages. The rooftop solar is big over there. And however they do it, we ought to take a look at that and maybe adopt it to our system.
What do you see as, and I feel like you've done a pretty good job articulating this throughout, but I think I want to give you a chance to state it clearly, is what do you see as the key principle that's at stake in this big conversation about solar between utility companies and customers, you know, that want to save money with solar? What's the key issue?
I think the key issue is freedom. You know, the utilities have played an important role in the development of this industrial world that we live in. But as we are seeing in other modalities, such as transportation, we're seeing new technology coming into play, such as the Uber and the Lyft, modernizing the so-called taxi industry. We're seeing all kinds of new applications of technology, and you've got to be willing to make some changes. Utilities are not willing to do that, it doesn't appear. They have a business plan that's a dinosaur and don't want to make room for competition. They like solar as long as they own it and can then charge the ratepayer for their own solar arrays. But competition and freedom I think, is that what's at stake here and is the underlying issue that needs to be addressed and to be preserved.
I don't have any other questions. Is there anything else that you think you didn't get a chance to say that you'd like to?
What I like to try to educate people about is we look at energy as it is today. We oftentimes forget the history of how did all this begin, this emphasis on renewable energy. And I probably have a working knowledge of that because I was there in the United States Congress in 1974 when there was an oil embargo on the United States from Saudi Arabia. And we had people standing in line to get gasoline. There was rationing discussed. And Jimmy Carter was the president, and he declared war on energy independence. The Congress followed suit and created all these research programs into all kinds of renewable energy, whether it's wind, photovoltaics, low-head hydro, oil shale, magnetohydrodynamics, non-military nuclear. Well, we created programs, and I was on those energy committees when it all started. The Congress also created a lot of incentives to encourage research and development and application. And so over the years, since the 1970s, there's been a lot of effort to develop and refine renewable energy. And today, it's starting to show fruit. It's starting to show results. All that research, all that effort by universities, by laboratories, by private sector are starting to bear fruit. Renewable energy, such as photovoltaics and rooftop solar, and windmills are starting to become competitive. Electric cars are all over the place. There was no such thing as an electric car back in 1970, but we created a program calling for a demonstration of 300 electric cars. And in a year's time, there was 300 electric cars running around the Capitol building, and the industry took it from there. We started this problem with energy source began many, many years ago. And today, it's becoming a viable industry. And as such, new companies have emerged and have grown and are creating employment opportunities all over the United States. Somebody's manufacturing these products. So a whole new industry with a seed planted back in the 70s are starting to bear fruit. And that kind of historical perspective, I think, is important.
It certainly suggests that it would be silly to turn our back on the opportunity when we've been investing in it for so many decades.
Yeah, and it's still embryonic. It's still a young industry, and it still has growing pains, and you've got to allow an opportunity for it to grow. If you cut it off right now or pull the rug out from underneath it right now, the solar industry is going to go away. And so the utilities have got to be stopped from killing rooftop solar. It's too soon for that to happen.
That was former U.S. Representative Barry Goldwater Jr. talking with John Farrell, ILSR's Director of Energy Democracy, about policies sprouting up nationwide that threaten rooftop solar and favor large utilities. Find out more about Goldwater's advocacy group, Tusk, at don'tkillsolar.com. For more information on the debate over net metering and distributed generation, head over to ilsr.org, where you can also find more local energy rules podcasts. Until next time, keep your energy local, and thanks for listening.